And we're going to be picking up at chapter 3, the end of chapter 3 this afternoon. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. It's right, if you go to the book of Matthew, which is the first book in the New Testament, and go one book back, you're at Malachi. Malachi was a prophet to the nation of Israel. And Malachi, not much is known about him other than his name means my messenger or God's messenger. He was God's messenger to the nation of Israel. We've been studying over the last few weeks the fact that God had called him to be a messenger to challenge the nation of Israel, to call them to repent, to show them the error of their ways, and that they would turn back to him. This morning we looked at the fact that they didn't feel they'd erred and that they hadn't gone away from him, and yet he says, yes, you have. You're becoming obstinate, and you're becoming not only obstinate, but you're also very arrogant in your attitudes towards me. You're not listening. You're not humble of spirit. Remember, Jesus said that we were to humble ourselves before him, and that we were to have a meek spirit. Jesus himself set the example for us. He who, by his words, created all things and brought all things into being, yet he walked humbly and meek before men when he was on the earth. Not to say that Christ did not become indignant towards those that were sinning and rebelling against God, when, for example, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, as we looked at last Sunday afternoon, who were robbing God in the temple. And he became irate with them and overturned the tables and drove them out with whips because they had turned his father's house of prayer into a den of thieves. But we know that Jesus had a meek spirit, and he called us to reflect his character. As a matter of fact, the scriptures tell us that we're being conformed to the image of God. The nation of Israel, as we saw this morning, had been created by God as a nation. They were not any descendants of other tribes like that had created other nations. The table of nations we talked about this morning is located in the book of Genesis. And out of that table of nations, you can see where all the people groups went around the world in various places. The nation of Israel was created by God. They did not come out of the table of nations. Having been created by God, they were called to be a light and salt amongst the world. And they were called also to be his messengers, proclaiming his word. And they were also to be the conduit through whom the Messiah would come. And we know that the promises were given, beginning with Adam, and then it was through Seth and the promises that Noah had given to his children, and then God gave the promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through whom the nation of Israel was established by the Lord. This morning we saw that the nation was called and chastised by God. They were called to repent. They were shown the error of their ways. There are two responses you can give to a message that you hear where God calls you, where God opens your eyes to the truth, where you see that you are a sinner that needs to repent and turn. You can either return to the Lord, you can repent, which means turning from sin and turning back to God, or you can continue to go and walk in rebellion against him. And we see that throughout history, those two responses are constantly seen amongst his people. In the nation of Israel, with the response to the message that Malachi brought, we see these same two responses are given. This afternoon, I want to look at the first response, and that is the response of the remnant. The response of those that believed what Malachi said, that repented, and what that meant to them. Let's begin at verse 16 of chapter 3, reading through verse 18. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one with to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day, when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth not. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be amongst those that seek to serve you, that seek to turn from our sin, that seek to walk in obedience to you, and that want to talk about you. Lord, now open our eyes to the truth. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to see the response of this group of people. Quite different from what Malachi was talking about this morning. These people were not obstinate, nor were they arrogant, but rather they were humble and meek. They saw that they were not the ones that were to be the focus of everything, and it wasn't their things and their way, but rather it was the Lord that was to be the focus of all things, and that they were to turn to seek the Lord. I want us to look at verse 16, and I see the characteristics of someone who truly fears the Lord. It says, "Then they that feared the Lord." First of all, we talked about what does fearing the Lord mean. It means to stand before Him in awe, to look at who He is in character, and to understand He is God, and really, I am nothing. The Scriptures tell us that we are nothing. In what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou should consider him? We are really nothing when you compare us to God. God, we're the creation of God. We are not gods unto ourselves. And as we see here, these people feared the Lord. They stood in awe of God. They feared the Lord. And they understood that He was God and they were His creation. And that fear manifested itself in the way that they began to live. What did they do? They spake often one to another. What is the significance of that? I don't know. The NDSU Bison had just finished their season and they won all their football games so far, and now they're going into the playoffs. And if you go around town and you see somebody with a Bison logo on their jacket or the name Bison on their coat, and you go up to them and say, "Are you a Bison fan?" They'll more than likely say, "Yes, we are." And then you can say, what do you think of their season?" And they'll be willing to talk to you about how great the Bison are. And, you know, they won the national championship last year, and then they won it 5 out of the previous 6 years before that. And man, they've got a great football team, and we're going to go all the way again. We're going to have and they'll sit and talk for hours about the Bison. Why? Because it's very important to them. They focus all their attention on it. They placed it as one of the things that they're willing to talk to total strangers about. My wife and I were walking, going into the elevator at the hospital yesterday, and there was a guy from UND, or he had graduated from UND or gone to UND, and he had UND's old logo on his shirt, which the NCAA made them get rid of. And so my wife commented, "Oh, a nice logo." And that opened up a whole conversation. And he said, "Yeah, we should bring it back. Yeah, it should have never been taken away." And he's a total stranger. Never met him before. Probably never see him again. But he was more than willing to talk about a logo on his jacket and a football team and an athletic team that used to have that logo and had it taken away. Well, that's pretty amazing. I mean, the people will talk to total strangers about football and talk to total strangers about logo. But do we talk to total strangers about the Lord? I want you to see that when these people's hearts were touched by God, and when He opened their eyes to the fact that they were really an obstinate, arrogant people. An obstinate, arrogant people, it's all about them, right? The focus totally on them. And God says, "That's what you are to me, obstinate and arrogant." And He called them to repentance, to turn back to Him, to understand their calling, to understand why He created them, to understand who they were. And He says that when they understood, there was a group of them, a remnant of them, who understood. And they wanted to talk about God. They wanted to talk about the power of God, the majesty of God, the glory of God. It says that they spake about Him how often. Well, it doesn't say, they only spoke about Him once a year. They came together and they gathered at the temple once a year, and then they talked about the Lord. No, it says here, and they spake often one to another. Often, that means probably every chance they got. You know, one of the amazing things about the early church, you can go and look at the early church, and people sometimes, as you see here, there's fewer of us here this afternoon than there were this morning. And in America, in the American church, it seems like it's hard for us to gather together. We tend to put things, other things more important than gathering together to worship the Lord and have fellowship with one another. And what do we do when we gather together to worship the Lord? We talk with one another about God. We talk about what God's doing in our life. We heard some things where God had answered prayer. It was shared in our prayer time that one of the individuals who've been praying for healing for them because they've got severe pain, their pain has been lessened. God has heard and answered our prayer, and He's working in the individual's life physically. He doesn't always say He's going to relieve the pain, but He did in this case. And we know that God hears and answers prayer, but it was an encouragement to hear a report on answered prayer. It's good to hear a report on how God's working in each other's lives. It's an encouragement. Well, we know that the early church was a unique church. As they came together, they were fired up about Jesus. Many of them had seen Jesus when He had taught in Israel and walked on the earth. Many of them had been in Jerusalem when He was crucified. Many of them had been in the upper room, sitting in fear with the doors locked, wondering when the Roman authorities and the Jewish Sanhedrin were going to come and drag them away. And then they heard the word from the women who had gone down to the tomb and came back to give the report. He's not there. He's risen. He's risen from the dead. Some of them actually saw Him after He was risen from the dead. We know two of them were walking on the road to Emmaus, and all of a sudden the Lord appeared to them and began to talk to them, and they didn't recognize it was Jesus. But He's talking to them, and He's saying, "Why are you so upset? What's wrong?" And they explained to Him how that Jesus had been crucified, how He'd been put to death by the Romans, how He'd been buried, and now it appeared that maybe they'd stolen Him. And then all of a sudden it says the Lord began to open the Scriptures to them, and they began to understand things, and then He revealed to them, allowed them to see it was Him. And all of a sudden they stood amazed. And did they say, "Okay, well, about a year from now we'll get together with some of the people and we might tell them that we just met Jesus on the road to Emmaus"? No, it says they immediately went to tell the others what they had just seen and what He had shared with them. Why they were excited about Jesus. Are we excited about Jesus today? Are we excited enough that we want to talk to people about the Lord? Do we talk to the Lord about the things that God is doing in our lives and the things we see Him doing in other people's lives? Are we excited about the Lord and willing to talk to His people? Do we enjoy getting together with His people, to having fellowship with His people? I mean, I really enjoy the times that we can get together and have time together to eat downstairs like we did earlier today, where you can sit around the table and have some conversations, find out what's happening in people's lives, and share with one another. The early church did that all the time. And not only that, they wanted to learn the Scriptures. They wanted to learn the Bible. They wanted to understand what was in the Scriptures. They wanted to begin to have a greater knowledge of who Jesus was and how He was working in their lives. And they wanted to hear what the apostles had to teach them. And it says they didn't gather just on Sundays. They didn't gather twice on Sundays. They didn't gather twice on Sundays and once on Wednesdays. It says they gathered every day together. And they broke bread together. That is, they had a meal together. They remembered the Lord's crucifixion and resurrection every day. They talked about it every day. And they sang hymns and spiritual songs praising God every day. And not only that, they sat under the apostles' teaching every day. Because you got to remember, these people didn't have the New Testament. We've got the Word of God recorded for us in the New Testament. All they had was what we refer to as the Old Testament. And then they didn't have printing presses like we have. They had to write it down, and scribes would record that book. And so not everybody had a Bible. They didn't call them, they were called scrolls back then, because they were written either on parchment paper or they were written on animal skins. And they were rolled up in scrolls. And oftentimes the scrolls would be kept at the synagogues. And so not everybody had that. And the apostles came and they began to open up the Bible. The Apostle Paul, what did he do when he went and taught people and came into, it says that he would go to the synagogues first. And I don't believe that when Paul went to the synagogues, that he just went there on Saturday, and then the rest of the week, nobody talked to Paul about spiritual things. I believe that when Paul went to these towns, and the synagogues were opened up on Saturday, the Shabbat, and the people came to worship the Lord. The Jews came to worship the Lord at the Shabbat. And Paul, they'd ask if anyone had to share anything, and Paul would stand up and he'd begin to share out of the Old Testament how that it foretold of Jesus, and then he'd open up to him about Jesus. I believe that when those people heard that, they sought out Paul during the week. And they sought out to ask more questions, and they wanted to be taught more about this Jesus. They wanted to know more about how Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies in the Old Testament. They gathered together, just as it says here that the remnant got together and they shared with one another. What were they sharing? They were sharing the Lord. They were sharing their love for Christ. They were sharing how God was working in their lives. They were sharing what God had called them to be and to do. And it says that they did that not just once or twice, but often, often, often. And yet we find it too hard to get out maybe even once a week. The American church has really become lax in this area. I remember reading about many third world countries where there's a lot of persecution in countries in Africa, countries in Asia, countries in some communist countries or dictatorships where the Bible isn't readily available. And sometimes these people will walk days to hear a preacher preach the gospel. And when they get there, they will sit and listen for hours to him expound God's word. Our services, our preaching times are long compared to many churches in America. A lot of churches in America today, it's 10, 15 minutes and you're out the door. That's the message for the day. And oftentimes the message isn't expounding God's word. It's not going verse by verse like we do, trying to put it all together, trying to see what God's saying and how it compares to the rest of Scripture. But rather, it's telling a little story. It's itching the ears, as Paul said, what happened in the last days. And it's, give me a story so I can get home and do whatever I want to do at home. These people weren't concerned about that. When they heard Malachi preach, they responded to his preaching and it changed their lives. They wanted to seek God. They wanted to know more about God. They wanted to have fellowship with God's people. And they shared about the Lord.